UCL Library Services Special Collections. Podcast 6. Treasures from the Natural History Collections. A Monograph of the Land and Freshwater Mollusca of the British Isles by John W. Taylor.
I'm Steve Jones. I'm Professor of Genetics at UCL, and I'm head of what's just become the Department of Genetics, Evolution and Environment. Well, I particularly used this beautifully bound book here, which is called The Land and Freshwater Mollusca of the British Isles. And it's a remarkable book. It was published in several volumes around 1904 by two amateurs who lived in Leeds. And it reeks of the north of England. And what it is, it's a book that lists the snails of Britain. And it's a very solidly scientific book. It's got beautiful diagrams and pictures in it, which they engraved themselves. And what's remarkable is that we've, over the last couple of years, been tracking some of the changes in distribution of the snail species as recorded here, and changes in the frequencies of the genes which alter the patterns on the shell. And we found some enormous changes. We're not sure why, but they're certainly there. I would love to own this copy because it's almost certainly belonged to a chap called Boycott, who was, again, one of those magnificent amateur Victorian naturalists who, strangely enough, collaborated here in UCL on a very strange project with a famous statistician called Fisher, R.A. Fisher. And they did some crossing experiments on snails, which were the first ever example, as far as I know, of inheritance down the female line only. And that's become an absolute huge worldwide industry, important in medicine, all kinds of things. And it all began with this book. Scientists don't matter. It's science that matters. And so what they found out is what counts. But the notion that this remarkably pristine volume actually belonged to the man himself does something for me, that's for sure.
A Natural History of Birds by Eliezer Albin.
I'm Susan Stead and I'm the Rare Books Librarian in Special Collections. Now here I have Eliezer Albin's Natural History of Birds, printed in 1738. And as it says on the title page, it is illustrated with 205 copper plates curiously engraven from the life and exactly coloured by the author. Also, some of the paintings are done by his daughters, who he taught himself. He was a drawing master. In the introduction, I love this. He says, "For the paintings, they are all done from the life with all the exactness I could either with my own hand or my daughters, whom I have taught to draw and paint after the life, so that I hope none of those who have been so kind as to assist this my undertaking will have any cause to repent of their favours." And these are people that he persuaded to fund the work, and then they put their names in the front here. You see the names of the subscribers. And then he says at the end, he says, "I shall be very thankful to any gentleman that will be pleased to send any curious birds, which shall be drawn and engraved for the second volume, and their names shall be mentioned as encouragers of the work, to Eliezer Albin near the Dog and Duck in Tottenham Court Road." So some of them he drew from the life, some are obviously done from stuffed specimens, you can tell. But they are lovely, and this was the first book on birds, printed in England, to have coloured pictures. And they are copper engravings which were then hand-coloured. At this time, most gentlemen, if they could afford to buy books, they would have bought something like this because gentlemen were expected to be interested in science and nature and the world in general. And something like this you could sort of put on your coffee table and show off to people how rich you were and how cultured you were. It was issued in three volumes and then there was a new edition later. And he describes the birds quite exactly. He tells you what they look like, how big they are. He tells you their habits, what they eat. He also tells you things like whether they're edible, what they taste like, whether they can be kept as pets for singing or for hunting, and sometimes little sort of folklore about them, little stories. These collections are looked at by a lot of people with very wide-ranging interests. He tells of the habits of the birds, so anybody studying, you know, ornithology, or things like climate change and that sort of thing, because, you know, if he says a bird is really common in the 1730s, but it's now not so common. That shows, you know, scientists can look and can see how things have changed. It's also interesting where he says that the birds were kept as pets or whatever. It shows different attitudes to animals. And, of course, there's the artistic side. I know some of them look quite crude, but he is attempting to show exactly what these birds look like. He's not trying to sort of make them arty. So they are lovely.